Well, good morning again, everybody. Before I dive in, I did want to say some thank yous. Actually, subconscious lead in there. In all of our years, our illustrious 5 years as a church, we've never been off to a stronger start for the fall. And thank you all for who have been making that possible. We got off to a great kickoff. Most of you were there. We had a picnic down there in the pavilion, and Dwayne brought his tractor and did tractor rides, and a whole bunch of you brought a whole lot of food, so we were able to do that. We had the largest inflatable I've ever seen. That obstacle course was huge, and it was a great way to start our fall season. And then things kept going from there. We have so many people who have been getting our kids' ministry off to a tremendous start. Just last night, last night and Friday night, we had our first fall retreat for our teenagers. I see a bunch of them there. Yeah, you can woot woot. That's good. It was great, wasn't it? Was it great? Yeah, it was great. And so thanks to all that made that possible. And then thanks to you guys. We rented Gospel Hill Camp, which is just down the road, and they had a church that was coming in there at 8 o'clock in the morning today. We had teenagers there Friday through Saturday night, and we were being all crazy. We had to be out spotless by 8 o'clock. The director said it was spotless by 8 o'clock. So way to go, you guys. Way to go. Way to go. It was great. Great, great, great spending the weekend with you. It was fantastic. Haven't actually done that physical counting, but I don't think we have ever had more people serving in more ways, serving the church family. I don't think we've ever had more people participating in more group experiences. I don't think we've ever had more people participating in more retreat type experiences. We had this fall retreat for teens. Mary and her group are back from up north by the Boundary Waters. We have some guys that are heading up 2 weekends. You guys take up in 2 weekends, they're going up. Women of Faith Conference, Becky's heading up a team for that. That's soon. We have a lot of stuff going on. So thank you all for helping us to get off to such a strong start. Well, one of the things that brings me great joy is not just the stuff that's kind of planned, programmed, but I love what I was seeing happening, especially last week. For those of you who are new or just joining us for the dedication, we've been talking about community and this idea of really building connections. And it was so exciting last week to watch how many of you you put that into practice. When we said, hey, this is it, service is done, God bless you, we love you, get out of here. I watched as people, you're doing that. You're going to people that you knew, going to people that you weren't knowing, that you don't know yet, and reaching out to them, that unscripted stuff, that real stuff of building these connections. Thank you for that. I don't do enough of what I'm doing right now, of affirming your faithfulness. I challenge you a lot because the Bible challenges us. So we get up here and like, okay, here's what it says, let's go. With the power of Christ in us, but I just needed to pause and affirm you. I just see God working through your faithfulness. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Along those lines, today's going to be a little different. Normally in this part of the service, we open up our Bibles together, we take a teaching, and we work that out together. Today's going to be a little different. I'm going to set things up, but then what we're going to do is you're going to hear from three sets of couples today. And what we're going to try to do is on this idea of community and connections, we want to make it as concrete, real as we possibly can today. So we're going to, in a couple minutes, we're going to invite them up here. Jennifer's going to be asking them some questions. And I really want you to listen to this because this is trying to make these things we're teaching on concrete. As in, you can do this. You can do this. And not only that, you're going to get to see some of these people. I say all the time, you got to get to meet the other people in this room. They're great people, and you're going to get a little insights into that, too, as they share the type of folks that we have all around here at this church. So what my hope is that you're going to get a picture today of what can be if we each take our next step. That's my hope. If you don't already have it, my hope is today you can get a picture of what we can be, or at your home church, what your home church can be, if people commit to saying, I'm just going to take that next step. Of what can happen if we do. What we want to avoid is this. I have a picture that came off of my phone. We were in San Diego this summer. And we were walking around a place called Old Town in San Diego. Some of you ever been there? It's just a neat little place, isn't it? We're walking around and we come to this shop. And here's a picture. I didn't rearrange the display. This is the display as it was. And in this display, for those listening online or those that can't see the picture, there's a cross. And right below the cross, there's a sign. And what does the sign say? Go away. This is not the target we're shooting for with what we're talking about today, where we say, we're believers, but you can't be a part of our group. And isn't it all too often that that's the case? Sometimes we send those messages, the I'm a Christian, but go away messages. We send them without knowing we're doing that. Sometimes just our body language. Either we're so busy doing the stuff that people are like, well, I don't want to interrupt them because they're doing the stuff. When most of us are like, you're more important than any stuff we could be doing. But sometimes we send the signal just by how busy we are that I don't have time for you, go away. Or sometimes just our body language of, you could be sitting there thinking, why isn't anybody coming up to me? Why isn't anybody coming up to me? Why isn't anybody coming up to me? And we're like, because you scare me. And you don't want anybody to come up to you because you're all like this. So sometimes we do that and we don't even know that we're doing that. Sometimes we send that message, go away, we don't know we're doing it. Sometimes you do it in small groups. Sometimes there'll be a group of three people huddled and they're all just looking at each other. And sometimes it's intimidating because you're like, I can't break into that. And this group could be the most welcoming, wonderful people in the whole world, but sometimes we send a message that we're not trying to send, that we're friends, you can't be our friend. And we don't want to do that. So this is not the target we want. And as I think about last week, as we started to try to paint this picture a little bit, and as I talked about some of the stuff that we don't want to have happen, because a lot of us have experienced that, I don't know if I've ever seen as much emotion consistently across the congregation as I saw as we described that last week. When we talked about those situations where we say we're believers, but in the midst of that group, if you don't have the same income or wear the same clothes or have the same look, you kind of get the go away message. You know, or I appreciate what Jill had to say with the clarifier there about the Pentecostal thing, or, well, if I don't act like everyone else acts, if I don't have the same exact belief on things that Christians have disagreed on, you know, over the course of hundreds of years, you know, I don't fit in. Or if my past is something I'm not proud of, then I can't be a part of your club. You know, I looked out and I just saw all the emotions as you described those things of where there's professing believers who send this message of, no, you can't be a part of our club unless. That's not what we want. That's not what we want. In fact, what we want is what hit me at the very end of the service. We were singing this song and there was this line of the song that we were singing to God. No love is higher, God. No love is wider. No love is deeper. No love is truer. We were singing that and singing that and singing that. And who again? Whose love is that? That's God's love. But who else should love like that? We should. Christ in us. We are all Pentecostal people. We the church is the child of Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, was poured out upon the church. So we are to love and to live with Christ living through us. With Christ living through us. So this is going to be foreign. This isn't even on the radar of us. So many of us don't even have a reference point for the Christians being the people among whom no love is higher, no love is wider, no love is deeper, no love is truer. Some of us, we don't even have a reference point for that. But what if this became true? What if we just started walking this out one step at a time and we started to say, Christ, would you do this in me? Would you change my mind? Would you change my heart? Would you do this among us in such a way where it's true for us to say this? Among earthly people, there is no love higher, there is no love wider, there is no love deeper, no love truer than our love for one another. Can you imagine being a part of a community like that? Well, we see in the classic text on community, we see a time when that happened. If you have your Bibles, let's open up briefly here to Acts chapter 2. It's hard not to expand on this passage, but let me just read it as it's written without any commentary. And here's the target. Here's the target. Or here's an example of the target as it was true for them in this time and in this place, with principles that certainly apply. This is out of Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, at home, we would love to send you home with one free today. We keep a stack right back there in the back table. Please take one as a gift to you. Here it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves, these Christians, these people on whom the Spirit of Christ had been poured out, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed together had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions, belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Well, of course, God added to their number. This was a healthy thing. This was a thing that God wanted to send people to, where they could experience this kind of Christ in us community. Now, this is just one of many passages we could look at. In fact, if you were to go and go online and find a word search tool and Google the or to search for the words one another in the NIV translation of the Bible, you come up with over 250 times where you have these one another's. Here is a small sampling of some of what the Bible says about community, about what it can be like, about instructions for us of how to treat one another. It says, in fact, if you could, just for dramatic effect, when you see the words love, or when you see the words one another, could you say them out loud with me? Okay? So, love one another. Ask one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Submit to one another. Forgive one another. Admonish one another with all wisdom. Encourage one another and build each other up. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do not slander one another. Live in harmony with one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another and have fellowship with one another. Can you imagine a community where we were allowing God to do that in us? Where that's what we were experiencing together. Most of us have never experienced anything like that with other Christians. On the contrary, most of us have been burned. Most of us have been burned when someone has concerned about our spiritual condition, but that concern crossed the line. And that line got crossed into judgment and condemnation rather than encouragement and support and help. A lot of us have been burned in that way. A lot of us have witnessed, we have witnessed church politics that are uglier than any worldly politics we see this time of year. Some of us, that's what we've seen. That's what we've seen. Or sometimes we found ourselves on the outside with no hope of breaking in. That's what a lot of us have experienced. And none of us want that. What all of us want, whether you know it consciously or not, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, what all of us want is we want people like the Bible's describing. To have a group in which you can experience this type of community. That's what we all want. Now, even though that's what we all want, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, even though that's what we all want, for most of us there's a little bit of a hesitation, a little bit of a fear factor, because how do we get there? How do we get there? Because like some of us, we're like, I don't want to come on too strong. If I see somebody I don't know, I want to introduce myself. How do I do it in such a way which isn't awkward, doesn't come on too strong? Well, that one's easy. That one's easy. If you're worried about coming on too strong, chances are you're not coming on too strong. If you're not worried about coming on too strong, chances are you're coming on too strong. All right? So that one's easy. But there's going to be other things that are more nuanced than that. And how do we overcome that hesitation? How do we step towards this community? How do we do it? Well, let me quickly say two things on that, then I'm turning it over. Number one, and you can write this down if you want, capture a vision of what can be. Guilt is a horrible motivator long term. Horrible. Horrible motivator long term. And if you're thinking, well, I've got to do this because Jesus says so. Hi, Jesus says I have to say hi to you, so here I am. Don't want to be doing this, but, you know, they say be in a group, okay? No. Capture a vision of what can be. Here's some of my own words behind this. Christ-like community. Imagine, get a picture of this, where we have a church in which you can make more 2 a.m. friends. Imagine if this is a place where you can make more 2 a.m. friends. The people who, when you call them at 2 a.m., they're glad you called. They wish it would have maybe happened at 8, but they're glad you called because they want to help you. They want to help you. What if we had more of those? What if this is a place where you could allow people to see the real you? What if this is a place where confession was safe? Where there was a couple people here who you could share that dark stuff. We all got dark stuff. What if this is a place you could share that dark stuff and it was safe? because these people were going to encourage you and do everything they could to try to help. What if this is a place where encouragement was the norm rather than shooting wounded is the norm? What if, parents, you're going to get this. What if this is a place where our parental values and aspirations were cemented? Translation, what if this was a place where as we do the best we can with God's help with our kids, what if there were other people who were embodying that also? So that the things they saw with us weren't just, oh, that's what my parents raised me with, but the coolest, best people they knew were believers also. What if? And what if this was a place where our safety net helped people bounce back rather than just feel entitled? But we really were there for them. And what if in all of this there was joy in the journey? What if we could catch a picture of this? What if we could lock that in and say, that's what we're going towards? That's motivating. That's motivating. Then the second part is, okay, if that's where we're going, capture a picture where we're going, then how do we get there? Well, you get there one step at a time. Take the next step in the right direction. Take the next step in the right direction. We won't get there overnight. We won't get there as a church. You won't get there as an individual. But are you willing to take the next step in the right direction towards that vision? Well, this is where I want to turn it over. So let me invite Jennifer to come on up. And what she's done is she's made some contacts with a couple people. We could have picked most of y'all to do this, but we picked some people who are just going to share a little bit about their steps, their next steps towards this right direction. So let me get out of your way.
And I mentioned in the first service, I don't know how many of you know that Chris and I actually did go to seminary together and got our degrees in theological studies. And as I've taught throughout the years, one of the things I like to remind my students of is while I love to study and while I love getting a good word every Sunday, I love to see practical theology. I love to see where we walk this out well. And so that's why I'm excited about having a few of the different folks from our church community sharing their stories, because I feel like you get to see where all this stuff in the book of Acts and the rest of the stories we talked about last week are playing out in real time. Not in magical ways, but in real ways. So I first want to welcome up Eric and Marilee Nelson, all the way from two blocks away in Shoreview. Thanks for coming. I know that it took some extra effort to get childcare for both services, so thanks for coming. Oh, sorry, can you grab that mic right there? Eric and Marilee have been a part of our church for a couple of years, and I first wanted to ask them to share their story about how they were kind of checking things out. They wanted this to be their church home, but they were trying to figure out how to make it more than just a place that they were kind of popping in and popping out of. So tell me how you went from just being a part of this church to actually finding yourself being a part of a small group.
Sure. Well, we moved to Shoreview in spring of 2011, and we're looking for a church home, and we found one two blocks away. So that was, once we realized that you guys were here, this was a pretty easy decision. Prior to that, we'd gone all the way over in Arden Hills. But before that, we've been moving around a lot. We've been in Boston for a while. We're from the area. We're looking for a place to plant and to get plugged in. And so we came in the spring. We got to know some people. You know, we did the Sunday morning thing. But we just didn't feel like we were getting connected. And you know, conversations, as they typically are, were a little superficial. So we were looking for just a better way to get to know people. So I met with Pastor Chris and through some conversations. Realized, hey, we're trying to get small groups to be more a part of the life of the church, and maybe we should start one. So that's what we did. So then last fall, we kicked off our small group and started up again this year, and it's been exactly what we hoped it would be.
So you've been meeting for a little over a year, and tell me if you could, let me pause and just say, when we're trying to promote this one anothering and being together and walking across the room, it doesn't need to look like maybe you're picturing your mind that we're expecting it to look. It might be that you join a small group. It might be that you join the prayer team. It might be that you join the children's ministry or that you volunteer in a team. Any of those ways is a way that we are hoping that you'll find connection and find those new 2 a.m. friends. So tell me how being a part of a group has really fostered some of those friendships in real life situations, not just like maybe on that Sunday morning experience.
Well, it's really remarkable. When we first met a year ago, we opened up our home, and we had no idea if anyone was going to come, and we didn't know who they would be, so we were all essentially strangers sitting in our living room. And now, a year later, you know, being an intergenerational group with different backgrounds, I can honestly say that we are friends. We're not just acquaintances or familiar faces, and when someone in one of our family are sick, we know about it, and we can pray for one another and send cards and follow up. We celebrate baptisms and milestones and, you know, do potlucks and kind of the traditional get-together socializing, which has been great. But I think one of the most valuable things for me personally is kind of what you had mentioned about being real. You can let your guard down when you know someone and when you trust them, when you know that what you share will be respected and kept confidential. And I feel like we can really talk about the things that are hard, and we can talk about things that we might feel silly sharing with somebody else because we know that our group really cares about us.
So someone might be sitting there thinking, well, that's really neat for you. That's really neat. But how would you encourage someone who maybe is a little bit, maybe who has been burned or has been had a bad experience, how would you encourage them to kind of take that walk across the room and to put themselves out there in some kind of a group?
Well, I think part of it is just recognizing we all have a desire for some kind of community, and that's just how being created in God's image, that's how we are. We want to be with other people. And you know, a lot of us, as you go through your day-to-day life, you don't have a lot of Christian fellowship opportunities, going to work or, you know, with kids or whatever your situation is. So I think the small group has really provided that for us, and I know when I've had that in my life, it encourages me and it helps me in my faith walk a whole lot to be able to have those people coming alongside and spurring me on. So I know it, life is busy and it's hard to find something, but you're not going to be sorry, you know, that you invest the time for that.
Just a quick side note to go along with that too. When you try a small group, you don't have to sign up for the rest of your life. Give it a shot. If you don't like it or if you feel like another group would be a better fit, you're not obligated to stay forever. And you can leave without an exit interview or, you know, it's not a big deal. So give it a shot. And we have found it to be so beneficial. I can't say enough about it, to be honest.
I think that is important to note because there is an exit strategy. Not even maybe you like your small group, but maybe you just want to either start another one or there's a different season in your life where it's not working out your schedule. So there is not a lifetime commitment. So thanks. Thanks, you guys, for sharing. All right, so John and Lisa Taylor are our next guests for the Jennifer Scott Show. Just joking, it's not at all. So thanks for coming. They have come this morning all the way from New Brighton, made the long trek over 694 to Lexington, New Mont. Yeah. All right. Hold it like an ice cream cone, I've been told. Okay. So John, I mentioned this already in the first service, and I don't think we've improved, have we, Joe? Have we gotten that laugh track that John requested? Okay, well, John did request a laugh track, a teleprompter, spring water, hair and makeup. I don't know. We're kind of a small operation here, so we're still working on some of those things. So thank you, even though we weren't unable to offer really any of your requests. Thank you for coming. So tell me how long ECC has, that was funny, how long EC has been your church home?
We've been here for almost 3 years. I grew up in a covenant church and was really involved, and then we were in a smaller church when our boys were young and just didn't really connect with other people, and when we started coming here, then we knew this felt like home to us. So.
And then how long from, so you've been here about 3 years, so how long was it from the time that you kind of walked in that front door and think that, okay, this place could be my church, before you decided, I need to do more than just kind of come on a Sunday morning, I want to jump into something? How long was it, and what did you jump into?
I think it was about 9 months probably we were talking about. I think we started coming in January, and it was that fall that we started working with the children's program and started teaching Sunday school, the little kindergartners, every other Sunday. So it took about 9 months probably for us.
I think that's just appropriate. Okay. It's just fine. But it's also okay if you've been here longer than that to jump in or sooner. Either way, I'm your person. So tell me, just having been a part of serving, how have you felt like that's been a good way for you to connect with other people?
I don't want to steal your answer. Mm-hmm. Even you with yours.
I don't know. Well, I just, I think that for us, you know, it was, the faith journey for us has grown since being connected with other people. And when we kind of made that step to, you know, start working with the children, we got to know other families, we got to know other individuals, and started in a small group. And through that, it has helped us really in our faith and to grow. Yeah.
So she said something first service that I kind of repeat what you said, because I thought it was good. It's okay. She said, you know, the faith strengthening early has been at kind of a reverse order. Like you think, oh, I'm going to grow my faith by doing a small group. Well, you kind of step out and do something, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that group's going to a women's retreat. I think I'll go to that women's retreat. And then you grow on that retreat. So kind of taking a step into different things leads into those opportunities to grow more in your faith. I thought that was kind of a good point. Okay, so any other ways or any other benefits that you've seen in your lives by plugging into small group or serving? John
Taylor.
Very
good question. Thank you. It's just been a tremendous blessing for our family. Like when we first decided to give to the church by donating our very precious time for these Sunday times with
kindergartners. Well, it is. You have three little kids, so I don't
know. Well, right, but they're next door, so it's not like... but it was like... it becomes like a weird thing to talk about. Like, I'm giving, but what you get out of it through the community aspect, like what Jeremy was saying earlier, just like the, you know, wanting to come out and say thank you for being a church family and for, you know, each one of you, what you do for our lives and what you mean for our kids and, you know, your bullet point list. You know, it's like a checkbox, you know. And, yeah, it's been a great experience. So
thank you
for letting us do it.
Yeah. Thanks for serving, and thanks for coming this morning to share with us. And all the way from Baptist Heights are Bruce and Debbie Anderson. Thanks for coming this morning. Debbie is struggling with a cough, and so she's been a real trooper. Cold? Cough? I don't know. Some kind of cold. So thank you for coming. I'm going to hand it to you, Bruce. So tell me about, first of all, tell me how you got to ECC. And then tell me about how you jumped in and joined.
Well, thank goodness for signs, because we were looking for a church that was a place where we could worship and serve, and the ECC sign drew us in. And so thank goodness back at the Chippewa Day. So we've been here just over 4 years. And it has been satisfying finding a place where there is not only a sense, but real community and worship.
So... you want to tell me how you plugged in what ways? You want me to repeat it? You got it. He's got it. Debbie says he's got it. It's like, shoot, do I have it?
You know, it's a comedy routine here. It's easier for Deb, I think, to plug in. And she's been a school teacher, and so she got involved right away with the children's ministry. But, you know, Replay is a small group, and we really latched onto that pretty quickly. And that's, by the way, pretty convenient if you go to the first service. So this is not the audience, I guess. But it's something in you that you do need to connect. That's a sign of health, I would imagine, and to be part of the community. So Replay, and then Deb got involved in a lot more than I could imagine with my schedule.
So just for your background, Deb is one of our elders at the church, but also both of them have led a small group Bible study that has developed in such a way that it's grown and multiplied because they just couldn't keep having more and more people come into their home, which is awesome, which is exactly what's super fun to see. So tell me how you feel like God has developed the gifts in you by stepping out and being a part of the ways that you've stepped in either in leadership or in small groups.
Well, small groups have kind of been a no-brainer for us because about 37 years ago, we attended a church on Sunday morning, and someone who was so confident in the benefits of small groups stepped up and invited us to come to a small group that night. And we were at that church for 20 years, and it was a huge part of our lives. Those are still some of the best friends that we have. And so when we started coming to ECC, they were just trying to get the small groups off the ground. And we asked ourselves, you know, well, what do we have to offer small groups? And we realized we have a lot of chairs. And
just what you need.
And speaking of chairs, if I fall off this one, I will be the first ECC broken hip on the prayer request.
You know, I was not expecting that height. I'm short.
Where was I going with that? Sorry. No, seriously. It wasn't that we had any special gift. We just had a place that was big enough for people to gather, and so we jumped in. And in doing that, you asked how it's used our spiritual gifts. I would say it has helped us practice a spiritual discipline of hospitality. It doesn't come easy for me because I'm kind of a perfectionist. So having someone in my home every Tuesday night is a good stretch, and God has really stretched me a lot in that direction, so that I think I'm becoming more relaxed about it.
That's great.
Next question. And the last question.
If you, Eric and Marilee kind of talked to folks who maybe haven't been a part of a group or who are maybe hesitant to get into a group, if you can think about those who have maybe been a part of this congregation for a while and still haven't kind of made that step to be either in a group or serving on a team, how would you encourage them to think about getting involved?
Well, as I said before, the first service, I think it's really natural when you have kids, and as parents, you're just facing a lot of issues. You know, what do you do? It's practical stuff, and it's new ground that you're paving together, and you're all in it together. We're empty nesters, and they haven't come back yet, so it's... But we're empty nesters, and so there's no natural basis to get together. But like Deb said, this was really quite a change for us, where people took the step and invited us. And one of my favorite passages, and some of you have heard me say it before, is Genesis 12:1-4, where we are blessed and therefore we are a blessing. We are meant to be a blessing to others. We don't come here just to worship. I hope you come here to worship, but there's so much more. If for some reason you haven't heard or read, and even today, that you're invited, I kind of take it personally that maybe I haven't done enough, and it's easy with my personality to imagine that. I haven't done enough to reach out and be more inclusive for you to feel part of a team or a small group. It has been life-changing for us. Yeah, 37 years, it's, you know, I think we're the senior group now.
So I want to reiterate one thing that you said, Debbie, in the first service, is that there are still groups that have space. There are still openings. Again, groups have been so successful that they're multiplying, so with that multiplication, there's more openings. So if you are looking to get involved with a small group and this has so inspired you, or a way to serve in some capacity, please connect with me. I'll be out in the lobby after the service. So thanks so much.
Survive the chair. Chair of death. Well, like I might have mentioned this earlier, you know, next week we'll get back to more of the regular way we do things. We open up the scriptures, we do more of a straight up teaching. And it's important for us as a church to come together, all, you know, gather as many as we can and worship and receive teaching all together. That's important because we can do more together than we could do by ourselves. We couldn't have a youth ministry if it was just, you know, if we were just a small house church. We couldn't do the things we do with worship if we were just a small house church. But because we're bigger than that, we have to take steps towards community. So my encouragement to you is to really ask that question. What's my next step? You know, one of the reasons why I was so good at to have you up here is you get a chance to see some of these people. And you get a chance to see these are great folks. And this caliber of people are sitting next to you. Wherever you're seated in this room, this caliber of people are sitting next to you, and you'd have a chance to meet them. Just take that next step. I once heard somebody say, if you ever find a perfect church, if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it. Why is that? Because you'll wreck it. If you join it, it's no longer perfect. You know, we are a bunch of imperfect people, and together we're a bunch of imperfect people. But together, if we all keep taking one more step in the right direction, and we say, God, would you be in that step? Not even be in that step. Would you take that step for us and through us? We can get a long way together. We can get a long way. Those of you who love the outdoors, you know, it might be discouraging for you to take one step when that mountain seems so far away. But if you can get a picture of what that mountaintop is going to be like, you'll take the next step and the next step and the next step. Maybe I should have said Boundary Waters. I see a lot of Boundary Waters guys here. You know, if you're portaging that canoe, you know, and the stupid mosquito is just zipping around your head, but your hands are on the canoe, you know, and you're like, okay, but on the other side of this portage, all right, other side of this portage, That's where the good fishing is, or that's where the great place is. You know, for that, I think of if my wife Laura was in here, the illustration I'll use it anyway. For her, maybe not being the Boundary Waters type, there are those times where the thing she was hoping would come on sale is coming on sale. And the coupon for the thing that never goes on sale finally came. She's got the coupon. She calls the store. They've got one left. And it's got her name on it. And so she's got the coupon. Thing is at the store. She pulls into the mall. Well, it may be far away, but she's got a picture of that thing waiting for her. So it's, I will take the next step. I will take the next step. I will take the next step. I'm not there yet, but I will be there. Maybe some of you can resonate with that illustration. I better stop on the illustrations now before I offend everyone. There might be two left that aren't offended yet. Okay, so, but point being, we're imperfect people. It might feel like I've gotten nowhere. I shook a hand today. Okay, next step is I shook that hand again next week. Next step, I tried this group. Didn't really work. I tried this group, it did. What if we just keep taking next steps in the right direction? God can bring us. So let's, as we close today, let me pray that God will inspire you to take a next step, whether it's with us here at this church or those who are from other churches at your home church as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a compelling vision to move forward to. A place where people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation are united because they've seen you and caught a glimpse of what life could be. If we come into your kingdom now and we allow you to be the ruler and we allow you to not just give us instructions but allow you to live through us and change our hearts and change our minds so that we can love like you love and we can experience love as we are designed to experience it. So Lord, will you give a next step to every person in this room, whether this is their first day here or whether they've been here from day one? Would you give us a next step? And Lord, after we take that step in faith, would you give us another one and another one? Give us these steps as individuals. Also, Lord, give us steps as a church, as you prompted us to start some small groups and do these other things. Would you keep giving us corporately the steps also that we can take so that step by step we can experience the life that we all really want to experience? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Seek and serve the Lord.